In Chicago, there were nearly 700 homicides last year. Most of them were shooting deaths. Increasingly, Chicago and other cities across the country are turning to community-based violence intervention to reduce shootings. Patrick Smith of WBEZ in Chicago has been shadowing some of these anti-violence workers for more than a year. He's host of a new season of the WBEZ podcast Motive. And this season, season 5, is all about these anti-violence efforts. Patrick, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks so much for having me.
You are choosing this season to focus on anti-violence workers. Why?
Yeah, there's a few reasons for that. One, there's been a big increase in support and attention and funding for this kind of community-based anti-violence work, where mostly former gang members work to prevent shootings and help shooting victims in their own neighborhoods. It also really stood out to me, you know, gang violence and gun violence in Chicago is such a big problem, but it's one that I don't think we really understand very much about. And so spending time with these workers who are former gang members, as I mentioned, it's just a way to get a sense of what might be driving a lot of the violence here in Chicago and then what it might take to stop it.
Let's talk about two of them who you spent a lot of time with, Robert Irvin and Vernell Maddox. They both work with gang members on Chicago's West Side. They're both former gang members themselves, as you're describing. Let's take a listen.
We've been knowing each other since we were young men.
Oh, yeah,
right?
We grew up in the same project. We went to the same grammar school.
Grammar school, everything.
Their mothers worked together as certified nursing assistants. The two boys were inseparable. Even today, they sort of talk as one, often repeating each other or jumping in to confirm what the other is saying.
A lot of people say me and Vonnell look alike.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, they used to think a lot of people thought we was brothers for a while because we hung out that much. You know, like that. You know, like I tell you, he's my brother. I don't look at him no other way other than my big brother. And that love is in my heart for him.
Yeah.
In that manner.
But Rob and Vernell grew up in different buildings. It wasn't a problem when they were little. They were still basically next door neighbors. But it became an issue when they hit their teens.
We chose organizations to be a part of.
And that's how the Rockwell Guns was. Yeah. You had different buildings. You had about, like, how many buildings in Rock Project? 11, 12 project buildings in Rockwell.
Different organizations.
And so each building chose to be what they was.
Yeah, right.
How old were you each when you joined up with your separate gangs?
I joined the gang at the age of 14. Yeah, I was just graduated from 8th grade.
And I think I might have been, 2 years younger than you?
Yeah.
Which gangs were they?
Vice Lords and Disciples.
Disciples, yeah.
And that was strictly based on which
which building we was in, yeah.
So let me ask you this. Growing up where you guys both did you feel like you had a choice in joining a gang at all? Like, could you just said, no, I'm not being a GD or a vice lord or any of it?
I don't think we had. At that time, back then, I didn't think I had a choice. My brother was the chief at that time. It seemed like everybody who I knew was already in it. And it was like, each year, when you reach 13 to 14, you were choosing what size you was on.
I agree with him 100%. I didn't have another view. That's all we had.
That's all
seen.
We did.
And I didn't get an understanding until that I could have avoided this until I really got up in age when I was about 19, 20 years old, and I seen other guys in the neighborhood that was going to school. They was going to college. You know, they had no parts of what was going on right in the midst of Rockwell, but yet they was coming home every day. And you could see a briefcase on his shoulder. So the older I got, I understood that I didn't have that opportunity to make that choice. I didn't see it then, put it like that. I didn't see that opportunity to make that choice to avoid this.
Rob's brother was a chief in the Gangster Disciples. Verdell's cousin was deep in with the traveling vice lords. The two boys, just 14 and 12, followed the paths that were laid out for them. The two friends-turned-rivals came face-to-face at a store called Groceryland one day. The store sat on a dividing line between their two gangs.
But I remember one time I wanted to fight somebody that started some stuff.
Rob knew there were vice lords in the store. He gathered up some of his fellow gangsters' disciples to try to beat them up. He didn't know Vernell was one of the rivals inside.
I was in the store. Right, because when you go on this side, it was GDs, and then on this side, vice lord. So a lot of stuff went on at this store, right? So I'm in the store already shopping. They was on something. They came in and seen me. Oh, yeah, we better get him. you know, at that time, but I had a gun, and I upped it.
Suddenly, Vernell was pointing a gun at his childhood best friend.
When I walked in, I said, okay, you're going to get him, I'm going to get him.
Right.
That's on my mind. And, well, when I made my move, he upped it and put it right on, almost on my chest. I couldn't do nothing but freeze. His hesitation let me know that he wasn't going to shoot. At first, when he first upped it, I'm gone.
But he knew I couldn't shoot him.
But it was like, Vernell, he couldn't do it.
No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. If that would have been somebody else, they'd have been. I'd probably be in jail for murder right now.
Still cared about me. Yeah. Because I didn't know he still cared. Because I was sending threats to him.
Sending threats. Rob had made it known he wanted to kill Vernell. There was one time, at the same store, Groceryland, when Rob ran into Vernell's girlfriend and the couple's young daughter. Rob rubbed the little girl's head and told her,
"Hey, you're a pretty little baby, but I'm going to kill your daddy."
That's Vernell retelling it, based on what he heard from his girlfriend later that night. Rob says it's true.
I seen Wanda, the one you had the kids by, and I seen the baby, and I like, I remember saying to the child a lot, you know, "I'm going to kill your daddy." And I meant that when I said it that day. I said, "I'm going to kill your daddy."
Listen, we're here now. You're helping people. I'm not, but that's a horrific thing to say to a little kid.
Yeah. He didn't know no better.
I was.
How old were you?
I was probably in my early 20s. Yeah, early 20s.
You got.
I mean, that's the lifestyle.
That's how we live.
That
man.
I live. I joined a gang at the age of 14. I didn't get out till the age of 37. That was my life.
What do you think about that moment now?
At that time, that's the mind frame that I was in. I was a game banger. Game bangers, game bang. That's the lifestyle I live. I fought, I shot, I soldier. Well, whatever went along with that lifestyle, that's what I did.
Let me just ask you to help us and introduce these guys. Childhood friends, yeah?
Yeah, so Rob and Vernell, they grew up in a really big public housing complex on Chicago's west side together. They were best friends as little kids. But then they both ended up in different gangs, and they became sworn rivals because of this gang rivalry. They went from best friends to people out to murder each other. They have reconnected since then and are best friends again, honestly.
Yeah. And now what kind of work are they doing?
So Vernell is a supervisor for a team in a neighborhood called East Garfield Park here. What that means is he's out there every day trying to intervene in gang disputes, prevent retaliatory shootings, trying to understand what groups are sort of into it with each other and what he can do to try to at least ease the tension, get groups to agree not to shoot at each other. Rob works with a program that's out of a church on the west side that serves current gang members who are looking to get, you know, legitimate work, looking to change their lives. He's a counselor in that program.
And tell us about one of these interventions that Rob or Vernell are involved in. I mean, some of these individual stories, as I listened, some of them are such powerful personal stories.
So I mentioned that Rob and Vernell grew up in Rockwell Gardens, which was a public housing complex here. That's been torn down, and there's now like some vacant land, a park that sits there. But even though the public housing complex is gone, people still go there to hang out. And different gangs all go and sort of hang out in the same area. And there's this kind of uneasy peace at this park. And one day there was a fight. Some shots were fired. Somebody got shot. Another person got their truck smashed up. And so you had this situation where it was, you know, one gang at the other. And there was real tension and concern from the workers, from other people in the neighborhood, that this was going to start sort of a back and forth gang war, essentially, over the summer. You know, retaliatory shootings going back and forth. Vernell and his team, they intervened in that, and they were able to, you know, they got each side to agree, sort of, hey, we're not going at each other. The one sort of last sticking point was a guy who got his truck all smashed up in this fight, and they were able to convince the rival gang to pool their money together and pay for the car repairs of this other guy to try to avoid, you know, a summer-long, you know, gun battle.
Yeah. So having spent a year reporting on this and following some of these advocates, Patrick, do you have a sense that they are changing things, preventing violence?
Well, here's what I'll say. I have seen firsthand the individual impact that they can have. I've seen the way they help gun violence victims. You know, I spent time with a victim advocate who serves people who have been shot and survived their shooting, and also serves family members who have lost loved ones to gun violence here in the city. It's just clear that the services that she's providing are just absolutely essential, and no one else is providing them. As far as the big picture, the groups that do this say, hey, if we could get this up where we covered every inch of the city and we had enough staff to touch every person who's sort of at the highest risk, we could really bring down gun violence. We haven't gotten to that point yet. We have not seen it sort of have a big overall effect on the total shooting numbers here in Chicago.
Patrick Smith is a criminal justice reporter with WBEZ in Chicago, and he's host of the new season of the podcast Motive that looks at gang violence in Chicago and efforts to prevent shootings. Patrick, thanks for the time and congratulations on the season.
Thank you so much.